Good news. Good news. La buena noticia. Ha llegado. Ha llegado. The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones, with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program as we continue making our way through the book of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 60 with a message titled Glory of the Lord. So stay tuned. And for those of you that follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before I continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to dive back into Isaiah. We're in the 60s, Lord. We just praise you for the progress that we've been making through your book. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us. And we pray you'll continue to do that. And we thank you, Lord, and ask for your blessing on everyone who's tuned in, Lord, so we may grow together in our faith and knowledge of you. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our 2-2-6-5 Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, Isaiah chapter 60, the message titled Glory of the Lord. Stay tuned for our program. So before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nathan, it's great to hear you after seeing you.
Yes. Well, folks, you know, we had our annual Bible Prophecy Conference here in McKinney, Texas, and Brother Vic was able to come out and spend time with the Lamb and Lion staff. It was such a blessing. It was such a fantastic conference. Where is the promise of his coming? The question that Peter asked. We addressed Tim Moore and myself from Lamb and Lion Ministries. We had Pete Garcia from Revelation 3:10, Dr. Hebert from the Institute for Creation Research, Brian Sanders, who made a wonderful documentary about why Christians should support Israel. Amber Pierce did a fantastic job singing. Folks, if you had missed our annual Bible Prophecy Conference, just go to our Christ in Prophecy YouTube channel, and we got a playlist right there on under the live tab that will, I think, just bless you.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, Nathan. And of course, a wonderful message by yourself and Tim Moore. I thought it was fantastic, Nate. People really also appreciated the gift of the Mighty Angels book. What a blessing that was.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, folks, Vic and I wrote a book, The Mighty Angels of Revelation. When we taught through Revelation verse by verse, we turned that into a book. It's been very popular, praise the Lord. And so I got to do I condensed 12 sessions, right, Vic, down into 1 hour. Actually, it ended up being 45 minutes. And so you get the entire book of Revelation and a study of angelology all in one shot there. We're able to have the Mighty Angels of Revelation and give that as a gift to all of our in-person attendees. And if you'd like a copy of the Mighty Angels of Revelation, Lamb and Lion Ministries is actually having a buy one, get one free sale. We're trying to clear out our inventory, and you know, it's more important these books get in the hands of people that need to know Jesus as their Savior than they are sitting on a shelf somewhere. So check it out on our ChristianProphecy.org website under store. You can get your buy one, get one free copy.
And I think they call that BOGO, right, Nate? Buy one, get one free.
Yes, yes. Our COO is quite the expert in online, and she says buying and in-store buying. She, you know, ladies usually are much better at that than us guys. So she introduced me to the term BOGO. I learned something new.
That's right. So yeah, so for those of you that are part of our program, also thank you for your feedback. It's great to be able to see some of you live and hear some feedback. We always enjoy that, right, Nate? Because it really helps us connect with the faces, with the people.
Yeah, it was really great. We had quite a lot of people at the conference come up and say they follow the podcast. So, you know, you don't get to see our faces in an audio podcast. Someday maybe Vic and I will move with the times and become a video podcast. But folks, I don't think you want to see our ugly mugs. You just want to hear the word of God, right?
No, then when they watch us, they'll probably just kind of like mute it so they don't have to see the picture. No.
That's hilarious.
But it's fun. It's fun. But Nathan, speaking of fun, the book of Isaiah definitely has been fun. We're in chapter 60, a powerful passage that I think is going to bless those that follow along with us as we look at chapter 60 and continue making our way through these amazing prophecies that take us from the past to the future to the far future. Also, even into the time of the millennium and the amazing things that God continues to do. So as we continue in chapter 60, we want to encourage our listeners to pick up a Bible and follow along with us as we're going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. So Nate, would you be able to open us up there in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 9, and I'll pick it up in 10 through 18?
Okay, folks, and hey, we have reached a milestone. If you've been with us since the beginning of this study, we're now in chapter 60. There's 66. This is the longest study that Vic and I have ever done, but I think it's worth it. So let's dive in. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Naboth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with the accepted on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to the roost? Surely the coastland shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you.
In verse 10, the sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and the king shall minister to you, for in my wrath I struck you, but my favor I have had mercy on you. Therefore, your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in processions. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pines, the box tree together, the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also, the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despise you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. And you shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and the milk of the breast of kings. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Verse 18, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your wall salvation and your gates praise. Nathan, what a powerful passage.
Oh, my word. There is so much that we can dig in here. Normally, folks, we wouldn't read so many, but it's a continuing theme or idea here. Bear in mind that the Jewish people, let's go all the way back to the beginning in Isaiah, and they were wandering away from God. They were actually rebelling against God. And throughout the book of Isaiah, the Lord, through Isaiah, is calling his people back to him and back to him. And yet he continues to stretch his hand out to them, and they continue to smack it away. So Isaiah prophesies that their end will come, and exile is coming to them, first to Babylon and then another one to the four corners of the world, the diaspora. And so we've seen that happen in history. The Babylonians in 586 captured the Israelites and brought them up to Babylon, and a remnant returned to Israel. And then in 70 AD, the Romans just dispersed the Jewish people around the world, but they returned to their land in the late 1800s and their country in 1948. And so this is the beginning of a transition into a fulfillment of Isaiah 60 here. You know, Vic, we hear a lot, especially with the wars that Israel is facing. And so even the support among evangelical Christians seems to be waning for the nation of Israel. And they're wondering, does Israel have any significance in the end times? But brother, when you hear that, or you hear this replacement theology teaching that the church has replaced Israel, just go to Isaiah 60, right?
Oh, Nathan, and that's why I love the recent conference that was held by Lamblion Ministry, because that was one of the focus, you know, the mistake of the church and so many with this whole replacement theology. God is done with Israel. The church has replaced them and all this. But yet when you read the Bible, when you read the promises, when you read Isaiah 60, I'm sorry, but God's plan is still on full effect for his people. It's just getting started.
Yeah, I tell you, folks, you really got to watch Brian Sanders' documentary, Why Stand With Israel. He spends a little over an hour explaining the biblical support for the nation of Israel today, the Jewish people. You know, we don't agree with everything every government does, not especially not our own. But what we agree on is that the Lord has made prophecies to restore Israel back to his own people. A third of them, a remnant of the Jewish people, will survive a coming tribulation, and they will be a priestly people in Christ's millennial kingdom. And that's what we're reading here in Isaiah 60. It's a prophecy about the thousand-year kingdom of Christ, where the Jewish people who are exiled, the bane of the world, the UN, exists to do nothing but make resolution after resolution against Israel. And the Jewish people are just anathema around the world. They can't do anything right, no matter what good they contribute. It's a satanic thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's part of the Lord's punishment for the rebellion that Isaiah prophesied. But in the end, he says, hey, this is going to come to an end. You know, there's a few verses, Vic, about the return of Israel to the land. That take, for instance, Jeremiah 30, 11. It says, for I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you. Yet I will not make a complete end to you, but I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. So that's a prophecy that, along with Isaiah, Jeremiah made, that the Jewish people, because of their disbelief and eventually their rejection of the Messiah, would experience a time of punishment. But Isaiah, back in 11, verse 11, he had prophesied that it shall come to pass that in that day, the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people. And he will set up a banner for the nations, in other words, a national flag, the Jewish flag, the Star of David, and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together to disperse the Judah from where? The four corners, or the four compass points of the world. Folks, we're living to see that today. There are over 7 million Jewish people now living in Israel. Half the world's Jewry lives in Israel. It's coming to fruition. And then Zechariah 8:8 says, I will bring them back. They shall dwell where? In the midst of Jerusalem. Folks, the Jewish people haven't controlled Jerusalem until 1967. So that's a modern prophecy come fulfillment. And the Lord says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. So Zechariah likewise was debunking replacement theology. The church may have replaced Israel for a time, but that time, once they were raptured to heaven, will come to an end, and a remnant of the Jewish people will become my people again. So the Lord has not washed his hands of the Jewish people.
Nathan, we live in such exciting times. Speaking of 1967, at first, I didn't care much for certain dates. Then I realized, wait a minute, I was born in 1967. So while I was being born, prophecy was being fulfilled.
Oh, you're a flower child. I didn't know that.
A flower, yeah. So Nathan, it's kind of cool to see that you and I and this generation are seeing Bible prophecies being fulfilled right before their eyes. And how exciting is that?
Yeah, and it's not Isaiah's, again, and not prophesying this lone prophecy about the esteem that the Jewish people will have in the end times. I look at Hosea 14, 4 through 7. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. So, you know, you hear all this time, especially from the Catholic Church, that not only has God washed his hands of the Jewish people, but he actually hates them and despises them. All the church leaders throughout 2,000 years of history has said that God is done with the Jewish people. And yet the prophets prophesy a time where the Lord will bring them back into his grace. Zechariah 8:23 prophesies that in here, the millennial kingdom again, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations, the Gentile nations, shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man saying, let us go with you, for we heard that God is with you. Zephaniah 3 prophesies, at that time I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you, and I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes. We read earlier in Isaiah 49, 20, 22, kings shall be their foster fathers and queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So again and again, there's all these prophecies about a restoration of a Jewish remnant, a return to faith, the fact that they will be a priestly people in Christ's kingdom, and the Gentile nations of the world will look to them to bring them up to see Jesus in Jerusalem, and the Jewish people have the fame and praise of the nations, which is the complete opposite of what they have today.
Oh, Nathan, and we're seeing what we call this Aliyah, the return to Israel. It kind of reminds me here, chapter 60, verse 9, surely the coastland shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first and bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. And it's true, right, Nate? God is putting this desire in the hearts of Jewish people to return to their land, and some don't even know why, right? And we see that's the Holy Spirit at work.
Absolutely. Isaiah 4 or 5, we read earlier, the Lord will create above every dwelling plate of Mount Zion and above her assemblies. We read about this here, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit standing over this house he's going to build. Isaiah 56 says, my house, in other words, the house the Lord builds when he comes, this millennial temple, shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now, one thing you do when you go to church as you give an offering to the Lord to serve him and also to keep the church going. Likewise, as the Gentiles stream up to this millennial temple, they will give their offerings to Jesus. So the wealth of the nations will flow into Israel. It will, I assume that when the Lord builds it, considering it's a, as we read in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48, a 20-mile squared temple. I mean, it's as big as a city, that the wealth of the nations will come in and give to the Lord to help build it. And the wealth and the esteem of the nations, Israel will become the prime nation of the world. The wealth of the nations will pour into it as an outpouring of love to Jesus Christ. And so everything that's the opposite of what Satan's trying to do to destroy the Jewish people, instead, during the millennial kingdom, they will have the praise of the people, and it would seem here in Isaiah 60, the wealth of the people.
Nathan, I love that. And I also think what a great blessing Israel has been to the nations around them, even to the Gentiles. Verse 1 opened up in Isaiah 60 by saying, arise and shine, for your light has come. Of course, speaking of Israel, but I'm so glad that because of the Jews, us Gentiles have entered into the light of Christ, and our eyes have been opened, and a world that was in darkness has seen a great light, the light of Jesus. And right, Nathan, and God still continues to light the darkened hearts of men today through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, without the Jewish people, we wouldn't have the testimony of God, we wouldn't have the Bible, and we wouldn't have the Messiah. Matter of fact, the fact that the Lord returns, it's a prophecy that the Jewish people, when they cry out for the Messiah to rescue them at their darkest hour, they will see Jesus coming in the clouds with us, the church, following him, and they will call out Baruch, Habab, Babshem, Adonai, which is blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so Satan is trying to wipe that out. He's trying to kill every Jew he can. During the tribulation, there'll be a mass slaughter. Two-thirds of the Jews, if there's 14 million Jews today and a portion of them get raptured, let's say there's, you know, I don't know, 13.5. We're talking about only 2, maybe 3 million Jewish people will survive the tribulation to live into the millennial kingdom along with the Gentile survivors. So Satan has done considering the Jewish people are over almost 4,000 years of history behind them, there should be countless hundreds of millions of Jews, but Satan has been very successful in wiping them out over time. So there's only a remnant yet. Yet again, though, there will continue to be a remnant as only a third accepts Jesus to be his priestly people.
Oh wow. And Nathan, and we see so much of this coming to fruition. Again, for those of you that joined us, you're tuned into our 2 to 7 Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 60 with a message titled The Glory of the Lord, and also God's plan also for the Gentiles. Nathan, again, you and I are not Jewish. We are Gentiles, and we see here in Isaiah how this is an amazing prophecy that involves us. Jesus said also in Matthew 21, 13, as well as Isaiah 57, 6, the church, or the God's plan, his house was to be a house of prayer for all nations. And we see how God intended also for those that were outside of the Jewish covenant, if you will, to have an opportunity to enter in. John chapter 10, verse 16 also speaks about that. Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 15 all speak about God's plan in sending others to the Gentiles. So I'm so glad that God did not forget about us.
Just to bring up what you said in Acts 15, 16 through 17, it's another prophecy that ties into this. Here's a New Testament version of what Isaiah says. He says, after this, I will return. Again, there is a promise that the Messiah, Jesus, is going to return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, in other words, the Jewish priesthood, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. In other words, he's going to build his millennial temple. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, in other words, if you're saved, says the Lord who does all these things. So again, another prophecy of the kingdom of Christ. And Vic, this is it. This is a got a bigger scope here, because what we know is that the promise of the Lord to return also hinges on his plans to destroy the Gentile world powers, the satanically backed, the rebellious. We read in Psalm 2 that the nations plot against the Lord. We're seeing that all over the world, especially as the leaders that come out of the World Economic Forum are trying to have a global government under a one-world humanistic ruler who will report to Satan himself, and they'll get that for a short time. But the prophecies of the return of the Lord is to defeat these evil forces and set up his kingdom on this earth. That is a guaranteed, it's going to happen. We're just waiting for it to happen. This day-to-day life, folks, that we're living is going to end at some point, and we're going to see the kingdom come one day. And so, brother, I am looking forward to that.
Oh, Nathan, absolutely. And we see again, the power is beginning to crumble. The U.S., thank the Lord, we're still here. And thank you for our president that's right now upholding the gospel, which allows our nation to stay around a little longer. But the reality is, according to Bible prophecy, power is going to shift more to Europe. We know the United States is not going to be a superpower forever. So we that are believers here, we have an opportunity right now to continue to support Israel, be on the side of Israel, but also recognize God's plan for us in his word. John chapter 10, verse 16 says, "And are the sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." And Nate, that's why you and I do these programs, right? To be able to reach the lost Jews and Gentiles as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing. If we want to pick up in verse 19 to 22, in the short time we have, it's the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also, your people shall all be righteous, all of them, and they shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I, God, may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. Talking about Israel, I, the Lord, will hasten it when it's time, and it's time. Brother, isn't this amazing? Because now we've gone past the millennial kingdom and we're talking about the eternal state when the Lord brings a super city, this new Jerusalem, to the new earth. And the prophecies in Revelation 21 and 22 say that God himself will be the light source of this city. His radiant glow will illuminate the entire city so that the sun, moon, and stars are lesser lights. I mean, brother, this is just mind-blowing.
Nathan, that's why with the short time, like you said, we have people need to read Revelation 21 and 22. I mean, it's just what hope, what an amazing thing. Your wonderful book that you wrote about the Millennium Kingdom there, it reminds me there of chapter 60, verse 22. And a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one strong nation. I, the Lord, hasten it in its time. So there's going to be a life expectancy expansion of people's days, like in the time of Genesis. The longevity of life and the fruit of that we're going to see in the future.
And it's meant to give the Jewish people hope. Bear in mind, Isaiah was 2,700 years ago. 2,700 years later, the Jewish people are still suffering because of their rejection of God and his Messiah. But it's not a permanent rejection. The Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the land covenant, and now our new covenant all still apply even to the Jewish people. So, we as Christians have got to get rid of this haughty attitude that we are better than the Jewish people, that God has wiped his hands of the Jewish people. He doesn't have a future for them. Yes, they're in many of them still in rebellion. Yes, they've adopted humanism. And yes, they're not following God, but that doesn't mean that God is done with them. God's plan of redemption will always continue. And thank goodness, right, brother? Because if the Jewish people hadn't faltered, then the gospel wouldn't have come to the Gentiles, and you and me wouldn't be saved.
Well, Nathan, and that's what it is. It's a stumbling in part, a blindness in part, but that allowed us entrance to be part of this family. And that's why for me, I'm so thankful for the Jewish people. I continue to pray for them. We support them. And I'm also just grateful to be part of this amazing family. And now, again, Nate, I just am so more on fire to try to bring this good news to all people, but also including the Jews. Oftentimes, they might not necessarily accept us or see us in that framework, but when they see that we care for them, that we're praying for them, suddenly that starts to break down some of those walls. And we can do that through prayer for the Jewish people, just a hand of kindness like we would do to anybody else. But when we're doing it, we're doing it unto the Lord, and the Lord will reward us.
Excellent point. Yeah, it's the fact that 2,000 years of persecution of the church against the Jewish people, they're very wary of the gospel. But wow, when a Jewish person meets their Messiah, it's like another Apostle Paul. I mean, they're the most amazing people when it comes to sharing the gospel and getting the word out about the Lord. So, Vic, how does one come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior?
Well, Nathan, whether it's Jew or Gentile, according to the word of God, we all must come through Jesus Christ, because the Bible is clear that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But as we recognize our sin, as we repent and we turn away from our sins and we turn to Christ, recognizing the work that he did at the cross for us, the blood that was shed for our sins, his body that was broken, Nathan, suddenly we enter into this new relationship. And then the Bible is clear that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us for unrighteousness. John 3:16 said that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, and that means whoever believes in him, Jew or Gentile, shall not perish but have eternal life. So all one needs to do, Nate, is call on the name of the Lord. A very simple prayer that I oftentimes encourage people to pray. And if they pray this prayer and mean it from their heart, it opens up the door so that they can enter into this relationship with the Lord. And if that's you and you have not trusted in Christ, if you've heard his voice today, why don't you take a moment right now and pray with us? And if you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart, God will change your life. Call on the name of the Lord. Just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. But God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So to Nathan's question, is that simple? You come by faith to the Lord, and if you pray that prayer and meant it from your heart, we would love to hear from you. You can call us or text us at 305-992-9537 or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com, and we would love to rejoice with you. So Nate, we closed chapter 60, but what an exciting chapter.
It just has so many promises there, and those can be our promises as well. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we ran out of time for this segment of the program. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones say goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. Thank you for joining us for today's program.
La buena noticia ha llegado. The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have